This is the Gender Fluids Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Ava Smart, a 26-year-old trans girl and bottom-leaning switch.
And I'm Ariel Isaac Norman, a 32-year-old boy lesbian, for now. And we're bringing you the only queer podcast that isn't super gay.
Gender Fluids is a podcast about all the sex and all the people. You can follow us on Instagram at Gender Fluids Podcast. On Twitter, we're at Gender Fluids Pod. Our email is genderfluidspodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to support us on Patreon, you can find us at patreon.com/genderfluids. Enjoy the episode, y'all. Okay, it's recording now.
Okay. I have been masturbating a lot more because I'm on the road. And by a lot more, I mean once a day, you know, as opposed to like maybe once a week when I'm home, you know.
Really? Just because you need something to do?
No, I just, it's nice to do, because the reason that I don't masturbate, well, the main reason that I don't masturbate that much when I'm home is because I want to keep up as much sexual drive as I can in case the girl wants to have sex, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever. And so I don't want to like lose any of my libido, but because I'm not having sex out here, I'm like, it's just
more.
A nice thing to do at the end of the night.
I guess it's pretty easy for you since you like can off anywhere very quickly.
There's no cleanup. Yeah. I can do it very quickly and very quietly. And, but the thing is that I finally decided, because I 99% of the time masturbate on my left side. And, I've started thinking that that might be like part of why my lower body is like fucked up. I have like these hip issues and butt issues.
Really?
Like,
what if it's just like laying on your side so much?
Well, because when I do it that way, I'm like tensing my left calf in this way and my whole left leg. And then like, cause like my masseuse like commented on it the last time he was massaging me, you know, like how tense my left calf, and I pulled it basically. And I regularly pull my left calf, and then I realize I'm like, well, that's like, I need to even out. And so now I've started doing 2/3 of the time on my right side and 1/3 on my left side. So I'm like, I can do it. I always just thought of it as like harder to do and like maybe it takes a little longer. Not that I usually mind if I'm, you know, you have a little time carved out, but then it feels like it's like maybe a weaker orgasm in some ways. But then I've also found that if I'm doing it on my right side, then I have to build it up like more. So it's like, it's weaker in some ways and then stronger in some ways.
Yeah. Well, you know? your body just doesn't know that yet. Right. Like I'm that way. Like, I mean, it's not the same, but it's kind of the same as like jerking off with your left or your right hand. It's like, I can like figure out how to do it with my left hand and like have, but it's like the familiarity of the sensation, even though it's like, you know, just the sensation of like which arm is getting tired or whatever. Right. Or like which side of my body is getting tense. It changes like how I get off. And like, because my body's like having to worry or think about this new sensation now, instead of just being able to like go into cruise mode.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's just so comfortable and easy. And like, that's kind of how I am in life, and probably how a lot of people are, is like, once you figure out some way to do something, you know, you just kind of stick with it. But yeah, and like my arms are involved too, or at least, and especially if I'm on my left side, then my right arm is, sometimes both are kind of involved, but they're involved differently. And so I'm just, I think this is really balancing. Just like if you're doing yoga, you got to do what you do on the left side, on the right side. And I'm like, I have been not practicing good, like, masturbation hygiene in the sense of, this is like, it's like one of my legs is like a little longer than the other. And I'm like, I'm wondering if all of that is just because of the masturbation from age 2 and 3.
Dude, that, like, I mean, it could be like, you know, people's bodies do change over time. And like, what if all these chiropractors have been missing it? Because really the answer only you can know, which is I'm left side dominant when I masturbate. And it's like slowly warped the base of my spine into that position.
Right. So I'm always like going to be a little off and leaning into that as long as I keep being uneven this way. Yeah. I wonder how many, not just me, but how many people like masseuses and chiropractors, because I keep thinking about how this masseuse is often massaging these muscles where it's like, well, those are sore or pulled or whatever because of sex reasons, you know, like he's working on my like upper arm or like my forearm, any of that.
There probably has to be like, you know, just certain muscle groups that get used a lot during fucking. And so like, I'm sure that they see that, right? That like, they're like, yep, areas X, Y, and Z are like all sore. Those are the fucking muscles. Like, it, you could have done a very specific workout to like get that, but really, those are the fucking muscles. I get, but then again, you're doing all that fist. Yeah, it's like you're doing that fisting lesbian sex. So like maybe you have to have like a queer masseuse that knows that's what
exactly. But this guy, my guy is like intuitive about what I need. You know, he's pretty good at like figuring it out, but he just kind of will be like, oh yeah, you know, these aren't, these are really, you got some knots in here. It's like, yeah, dude.
I'm fucking using them.
Girl. But yeah, so I wonder how much that is really a big part of what's been going on with my body for all these years. So I'm going to try to start evening things out. And I think that'll help me too in sex. Like, you know, because women want to have an easier time being more involved in my orgasms. And so the more diversity I can bring to masturbation, I'm sure the more diversity I can bring to coming with other people too.
Fuck yeah.
But I have been, you know, coming in different ways and stuff. Have you, especially with the girl?
So you're on the road right now for the listeners. Have you like, where's, have you been masturbating in weird places, just like wherever you can? Or is it just like, I'm like going to bed on this person's couch tonight and like they've gone to sleep, so I'm like, get off real quick.
Yeah, for sure. That,
Nothing like, I'm in this truck stop and I just need a like a quick J-O. No like odd places or.
No, because I really like being turned on. So like, I'll let myself, I've been like hardcore fantasizing about the girl, just on all these long drives. I just wind up, I'm like, some podcast is on, but I just start thinking about sex stuff with her, and then I'll just like let myself be super turned on. I just like being in that headspace. So I don't like feel like, oh, now I gotta jerk off. I was like, I just like being in that headspace, being super turned on. And then just at night, it'll be like, oh yeah, oh, now there's no reason for me not to masturbate right now.
So interesting. See, I've done the same thing where I like am on a long drive and get like way into like some sort of fantasy, right? But like, I enjoy the act of like finding a place then of like having to pull over and like in like be incognito in like a parking lot somewhere, or like as I'm driving, like masturbating, right? And like getting off, like that, and the kind of like going out of your wayness of it is part of what makes it hot to me, you know?
Yeah. I need to like leave myself more time on these road trips anyway for like, not tourist stops, but you know, like, cause like they'll all see museums or whatever that I'm like, that's such an obscure thing. I'd like to go to that.
You should just start a list of obscure museums you've masturbated in.
Yeah. But that's right. Yeah. I need to give myself more time so that I can, start masturbating in these like tiny railroad museums.
Write a little travel guide, like obscure museums to masturbate in by Ariel Isaac Norman.
Where to masturbate in this country is little weird national monuments and museums. Yeah.
Best national historical monument to masturbate at. A list.
top 10. Yeah. We need to get into the listicle game. But yeah. So that's my friend the other day, who I was staying with, though, like I had started masturbating, or maybe he had even started. I think he started before I did. I can't remember.
You knew he was jerking off.
I could hear him. I mean, I kept myself quiet, but I could hear his little moans. And then he was drunk. He's drunk, but he heard him moaning. And then in the next several minutes after the moans, I would just hear these peals of laughter, like joyful laughter, just emanating from his room. I was like, damn, man. So that was a good session you're having in there.
You just had a time.
Yeah, and then I think I heard him talk to himself out loud. I was like, damn, man.
Does that ever happen to you?
What
were you just, were you just like come so hard and like in you know, your headspace is like such in such a place, like when you're done, just like, yeah, you laugh. I've definitely laughed and then talked to myself afterwards, been like, oh my god, like what did I just discover? Like that is
I will for sure, like I've definitely written a lot of jokes over the years, even before doing comedy. Like I'll get into a headspace of like something funny will occur to me while masturbating, And so I'll literally be thinking about something really funny while coming, or in my, so the same friend who was masturbating in the laughing in college, we were drinking with another friend and playing some silly, weird ride and board game that I had. And, however this game functioned, we were like, I guess maybe we were all saying whether we had done this thing before that someone had written, and she had written like indulging in intrusive thoughts at orgasm. And we all just like lost it laughing at the idea. And I think like, a solid eighth of the time that I masturbate, I like think about indulging in intrusive thoughts at orgasm. And like whatever I happen to be like thinking about right then, and then that makes me laugh. So,
but the orgasm itself doesn't ever make you laugh. Like you never come so hard you just laugh because of like you're astonished at what has just happened.
Or that like, happened once or twice with the girl, where you know some crazy sex thing or like some kind of like new position like weight of like, oh my god, I'm actually coming this way, like has kind of puts me into such a joyful place or something, whatever that is that it's triggering, where you're just like, it's kind of like a holy shit laughter.
I mean for me, I laugh a lot after orgasms, especially by myself, like like, but it's always that when they catch me by surprise and are way stronger than I thought they were going to be, where it's like I think I'm just having like a normal like afternoon like masturbation time, and then all of a sudden it's like, you know, I'm coming and seeing colors and like my whole body's on fire, and then afterwards I just like laugh because I'm like, oh my god, like wow, okay, that just happened. Like that felt like a me and somebody I'm in love with have been fucking for 3 hours and like came.
Yeah,
and
it's like
you
so
know?
Funny that you can get it from masturbating.
Yeah, I know. And it's, yeah. It's
something just, about that.
There's also just something like, this is like wild that we can just do this to ourselves. It's like, it's kind of like a drug and it's kind of trippy. I don't know. It at least trips me out. Like when I like make myself come so hard and then I'm just like, oh, like, I have any like
amazing.
Elegant thought about it.
Well, you know, it is kind of amazing, and it's one of the, it's like, you know, when I was a kid and I was really struggling with my addiction to masturbation and like, you know, I'd been taught that it was this horrible sin and blah, blah, blah. The reasoning in my head was like, I was like, of course it is, because you're getting something for nothing. And that's something that's so joyful about masturbation and in certain circumstances, sex, you know, when things are, when everything is safe, you know, getting something for nothing. And it's like, we were taught in our weird, Christian, you know, type of culture, like, work ethic-y type of, that's not real, that's, you're going to get punished for something like that. Nothing, everything costs something, nothing. You can't ever get something for nothing. And it's like, it's almost such a beautiful cosmic, joyful joke that it's like, yes, you can.
Yeah, you can.
Ultimately,
it sounds cheesy, but it's like, you can give yourself love in both physical and emotional forms, and that costs nothing.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They want us to be buying stuff all the time, and yet there's this free source of pleasure and joy and whatever that you can give yourself. Yeah, talk about self-love. I mean, you know, being good at masturbation is such a, you know, important
it's
form
a
of self-love.
Skill. It's a skill not a lot of people have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like, if you don't bother, a lot of people just rely on other people to have, like, really, even a lot of penis people can rely on other people to have, like, really pleasurable masturbatory, you know, or really pleasurable orgasms. And especially vagina people often do that for a million reasons. Learning to make yourself come really hard.
And also, like, not just making yourself come in, like, a utilitarian way of just, like, I just got to get off. Like, really, like, learning yourself and, like,
experience.
Being able to, like, have more and more intense or diverse types of orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why
like
I, like...
long session, long meandering, let your imagination play, or let, you know, you're just... tease yourself for a long time, or whatever it is, you know, whatever you like, but like really, really giving yourself that and taking the time for that, you know, absolutely important self-care.
Well, I'm glad to hear you've been masturbating on the road, keeping
it
up.
Thank you.
Anything wild happened on the road? Any like weird, gendery, sexy interactions or encounters?
in New Orleans, I just, there was some 85-year-old man in the audience, like literally 85, we asked, and I asked, and then I just tried to explain so much about sex and gender to him. So in 8 minutes, it was very all over the place set, and, you know, not my best work, but it was just like this thing of like, oh my God, how can I not talk to this 85-year-old man and like figure out what he knows or doesn't know about all this kind of stuff and try to get something in there. I don't know. I made out with someone the other day.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. And this is like the exact reason
after
that,
a show.
Yeah. But she wasn't even at the show, but like I had crushed it at the show called The Clapback. It was part of the, it was at Palace Theater in Chattanooga for part of the Lookout Comedy Festival. And it's Ian Abair's show. And it's like this thing where there's three, girl comics. We all did 5 minutes, but spread throughout the show. But then there were five guy comics who all did. So everyone was just doing 5 minutes. But then the chicks were all on the couch, and after each boy set, we would all like we basically like have about a minute to roast the boys.
That's fucking tight.
It was fun, and like that was so much fun making fun of them. And it was just like the audience, you know, was just like just there for it the whole time. And so it was one of those beautiful audiences. And then so I got to close the show out with my set and just like talked about fisting and stuff. And it was just such a fun show. So I was already feeling great. But then I walked outside, and this girl came up who she's seen me two or three times do comedy in Chattanooga. And like, and she hadn't seen the show, but she'd seen the show a couple of days before. And so she was like, oh, yeah, like she has kind of like a comedy crush on me and, you know, probably like a crush. And so, but then she had this other girl with her who just, we all, three of us started talking, and just immediately the girl was like, God, you're hot. Sorry, I'm drunk, but like, Jesus, you're hot. And she just kept throughout the whole show telling me how hot I was.
Throughout the whole show?
Not the whole show, sorry. Well, that's just what I call my personality. Okay.
yeah, it's like, damn.
Tonight. Throughout the like conversation, she just kept like bringing it up again. We talked about all kinds of stuff, but and they were talking about how like how hard it is to be bi and like hit on women, and like the one girl had just apparently like come out as bi a week ago. But the other girl, so the girl that kept calling me hot, and was, you know, she was cute, but then she told me that she had, like, because her hair was up, and then she showed me pictures of it, and lo and behold, it was long, dark, curly hair, so it was, like, interesting. And as everyone might know by now, I have a type. And, yeah, so then by the end of it, I was just, like, you know, I was like, hey, can I kiss you? And she's like, yeah, of course. And so then we started making out. It was a, you know, a nice make out. And, but then the other girl who had started doing comedy, she was like back there being like, oh my God, this is so hot. Oh my God. Oh, this is like the best thing that's ever happened. Yes, yes, yes. And I'm like, this is exactly what I want about like kind of like the openness of me and the girls poly situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't really care about like having sex. I like going on dates, but I like being open to this sort of thing. Cause it's so fun to like
just casually make out and like be the hot person that's kind of like adored.
Yeah. To be adored and turn people on. And also, I mean, quite frankly, I mean, it's a nice make out. I mean, it's, you know, I enjoyed it myself, you know, but it's just like, but even more so, it's just, yeah, I love the attention and like just that kind of thing. And I always want to be open to that kind of thing. And it's, you know, and then of course, you know, just it's fun to tell the girl about that kind of stuff. And then, you know, she can roll her eyes about how much attention I like, but you know, just fun, fun, fun.
Yay. I'm happy for you.
So now there's some chick in Savannah who wants to get a drink, and I'm like trying to figure out to do it. And I realize I'm like nervous about going on a date, which is exactly why I want to do it. It's because it's like, oh God, now I'm like, I haven't been on a date in a minute. Now I got to like, you know, that's another
get,
now
get
fun,
that.
Like little high dive, because I'm always trying to get myself to jump off, you know, to do anything that's a little uncomfortable. And so, you know, I might get a drink for this woman tomorrow.
Hey, y'all, if you're listening to this Wednesday, the 23rd, Ariel's going to be in Lafayette at the Worst Beer Garden tonight at 8, so go check her out there. And then this Friday, Backyard Sluts is happening at 604 Fairfield Lane, or maybe it's 603 Fairfield Lane. I don't really remember, but go to that show too. It'll be fun. There's super dirty. There's like drinks and shit. All right, bye.
I like the idea of like having a customer service abuse fetish. Like it's the idea that some people do have that as a fetish is just a comfort to me when I'm doing customer service. Cause then I could just tell myself anytime someone was a real asshole and I'm like, what the fuck? Why would you have a personality like that? You
can
just
tell yourself, hopefully you're masturbating later. You're getting off.
Yeah.
To it.
Like, oh, they're probably just masturbating about me later. They were like, oh, look at that. That chick's hot. I want to be rude to her. And so I can masturbate, you know, I take it as a compliment.
I think some people probably do have a customer service abuse fetish, right? Like they like call in to like the people like, you know, that work in call centers and just want to like bitch at them, right? Mm-hmm. Not even like the weird ones. Cause like I did that shit for a while and like, you know, you get some weird dudes and I don't know, for me, I kind of like enjoyed it cause I liked fucking with them and like hearing what they wanted. But, yeah, there have to be some people that like, you know, they're feeling bad and they're looking around and they need a boost. They need a feel good. Right. And like their feel good is like, oh, well, I'm going to go call and complain about my insurance or complain about my internet service and just like rip into somebody. And they get that rush and they get that like, you know, adrenaline going and it makes them feel good. And then they hang up and they've got like a release. Like, I think a lot of people have that shit, right?
Yeah. So like, again, like one of these fetishes where it's like not even really a sexual thing. It's just like, this is something that you get off on in that way, you know? And
because there's like a bit of like self-righteousness in there. And I think people like that, especially like in IRL, like I just told off that, like, you know, like that labor, you know, I'll yell at whoever and it feels good when you like believe yourself to be that right and you get to express it in such a like dominating way. And then they like walk away from that. And it's just like, yeah, you're just have a fetish for it. You have a fetish for that rush.
Yeah. Well, I wonder, cause it's definitely a rush and it's definitely a rush that I get and I'll experience it. Like when I call customer service people, like sometimes everything is fine and everyone can be friendly and, you know, in an upbeat mood, we can just take care of the problem. But other times, like I'm dealing with something where I'm coming into it really annoyed already because it's a problem I've had multiple times with this company, or it's like, you know, I disagree with some bill or whatever it is. And so I often call and like kind of feel like I'm channeling my mother. Like I remember the way she would, you know, deal with people on the phone and get what she wanted almost always. And like, so I go into this place with customer service sometimes when I am upset or have some reason to be upset or if they upset me during the course of the call. I will lay things out for people and I am often, you know, quite successful in getting them to cave to my demands and stuff. But like the feeling I have afterwards is I don't like it, you know, like I don't really like it during, I don't really like it afterwards, but I do have a sense beforehand of like, I have to. I'm so angry and I need to do something with this anger.
Yeah.
And I need someone to hear this. It's the same thing like when I'm driving in these long road, you know, these excursions where it's like 6-7+ hours of driving and like these truckers just box me in or whatever. Like really annoying road things where people are being extremely inconsiderate to the other cars on the road. And I get filled with rage and I kind of, I can't decide because I, like lately I've been letting myself, it usually happened once or twice in like a 6-7 hour trip where I will, 6-7 hour drive once or twice, I'll just let myself yell very loud, either at a car or a truck that's annoying me. Or if I was listening to a podcast the other day and they did a story on this town near San Antonio that is not taxing its civilians, but instead has learned it can just pull over anybody going 2 miles over the speed limit in their town in order to get revenue into their town because they don't want to tax their citizens anyway. And I just started yelling, like I'll just yell "fuck you" very loudly and very angrily at whatever, just for a second, and then like afterwards, I feel the sense of like, okay, I got that out of me, but I'm also like, am I just is this just fueling it on in the future? Like, would it be better to just meditate it out, or is it actually good to express this anger? Like, these are questions I think about all the time. But I'm like, I'm sure people are fetishizing it away, but I can't decide if we're really enjoying
this. Yeah, you're just doing the opposite of like what I'm sure somebody with this fetish is doing, right? Like, you feel guilty about it afterwards. Like, it's a thing that you like worry about using, but like, I 100% I think the feeling that you have, like, okay, sorry, that threw me off. I was like, why is it buzzing? That feeling that you have is like the feeling that you run away from or feel guilty about. It's the feeling that some people run towards.
Right.
Right?
Right. But is that, you know, yeah, is that ultimately making them, like, angrier and meaner? Because they enjoy that, so now we're just in a cycle of like needing to be like mean to people in order to feel that. It doesn't seem good.
No, probably not healthy. Unless, I mean, you know, I'm sure you could like, if this really was your thing, like what's the ethical way to like express it? You know, how do you
find someone who has the opposite fetish or the parallel fetish?
Yeah.
Right?
Who likes being abused.
There's a lot of that.
The solution is to like pay somebody to like pretend to like, you know, come over to like redecorate your home and then like berate them when they do the wrong thing. Right. You know,
or yeah. Call them up and, you know, pretend to be haggling over a bill or something.
Or have them bring you food, like, you know, dress them up as a delivery driver and have them bring you food and then say it's the wrong order and like yell at them, you know, and then fuck.
That seems kind of like an interesting one to try out to see if you're capable of it. Like, can be like, okay,
yeah, you know, you're running away.
$75 an hour. Can I get yelled at?
Well, not just that, but it's like, what if, like, you know, you're running, you yourself running away from like this, like expressing that, like, and if you feel bad when you do it, right? What if you could find a way to like channel that into, you know, a fun sexual outlet where, like, you know, the girl dresses like the same thing. She's like a sexy delivery driver and like she gets your order wrong and like, you know, you've got a food thing. So you make her try the food as you're yelling at her. Like, does that taste like what I ordered? And then y'all can like fuck or whatever. And then you get to express that like anger, but in like a positive way, in a way that you control, you know. Like, not that you're not controlling your like momentary, like your like once a 6 hour screams of fuck, but like, you know, you could, it's not being, I guess the root of you doing this thing and expressing this thing isn't negative itself, right? You're doing this thing that has a negative association with it, but the basis of it is positive. And thereby you might be able to like change how you feel about it.
I think it would take me a while to work up to the idea of like really being mean to the girl, even in role playing. I'm like, I can't. Maybe she could be mean to me. That'd be nice. We'll see.
Bottom through and through.
You what?
So you're a bottom through and through.
No, it's not. I'm not fully bottom through and through. I haven't perfectly good thought, but it's just like the mean thing. I don't think neither of us is very good at expressing anger. And I think it's something we both need to like learn how to be okay with. But like, I'm just saying, I just don't think we're there for being able to be
legit
really mean to each other. It's just, well, we did role play the other day. I can't remember if we talked about it on the podcast or just IRL. But, you know, she and I did have a great role playing session the other night before the tour, and like it was like definitely our like first like really like played out one, and it was great. And just like the way that I like to role play is like we're really the kind of the same people, but just in a different universe and different, we might be different ages, but just different situations in life. But it was fun because, you know, she talks about how vulnerable it is and scary and everything, and she doesn't know. And I'm like, yeah, you just kind of do it. I don't know. It's hard to explain. And I mean, I kind of got nervous and vulnerable about it myself a little bit. But, like, just what I did was just, you know, I suddenly just kind of like, here, just watch. And I just went into really just kind of an improv scene is what it is, you know, where I was just talking like I was in the situation that we had set up. And so
do you
want to
say what the situation was? Do you want to say what the situation was?
Sure. Okay. So, and this is one that, you know, like we had kind of talked about even if, like a couple months ago. And so I was just like, oh, okay, do you want to do this one? And it's like, basically I am, a little bit, so I'm still a little bit older than her. Maybe I'm, it doesn't matter what our ages are. Maybe they might be slightly different. You know, maybe we're both slightly younger or whatever, but I'm still somewhat older than her. And I am like a newly divorced or divorcing mom of two. And she is the nanny that we hired, for the kids. And so, and then, you know, whatever unfolds. And that's so that's kind of like, that's the suggestion. And then it was really great. So I just started in with, because we had just bought a bottle of wine at H-E-B. And so I was just like, hey, will you stay and have a glass of wine with me? This is classic. A bottle that my husband's new girlfriend gave me at the party tonight. So I really just kind of don't feel like not drinking, and I don't feel like drinking this alone. So anyhow, and so then we just kind of started, and it was just like very, just like the improv scene, like with a lot of, you know, not only yes anding, that just happens naturally, but like kind of gifting each other stuff. Like at one point I was like, so in the 2 months that you've worked for us, did Dave ever hit on you? You know, and that kind of thing, where you know, you're kind of seeing,
you're going in. I love
it. That's how I do it. I'm like, yeah, a total method. That's like what I mean by role playing. Like I don't do kind of like, we put on little costumes or, oh, they have a little props for it. Like, I'm like, no, full on method. It was so hot, dude. Like, she got into character, and then we were like watching Transparent together, and like kind of then, because then you're on the couch, like doing the kind of, you know, now you're touching, and like, so now there's this heightened awareness because, you know, the situation is different. I'm not going to go into everything that she said, but like, you know, she said some hot stuff because it plays on the situation where, because now the character is, my character has never had lesbian sex before. She's had sex with one man, Dave, who's now, you know, and now her character, who's younger, it turns out, you know, she decides for her character, and you know, this comes out in our interactions, that, oh yeah, she's actually a lesbian and has had lesbian sex and whatever. And so now we get to play with that dynamic of, I've never done any of this stuff before, and I'm nervous, and I'm like really nervous but excited and whatever. And so it's that kind of stuff that I like playing with, is just like, we're still the girl in Ariel, you know, but mm-hmm. just kind of in a different
augmented
life. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
So hot.
Holy shit, dude. Yeah, I'm so proud of you right now. I'm just like, yep. Fuck Ariel, well, you just crushed it. That's yeah, also,
well,
like,
so
way
she.
To take, I know, but I'm just saying, like, way to, like, I mean, look at you coming all this way, like, after, like, you know, 2 years of this podcast, to like now, like, not only like actively role playing in your like relationship, but like being a fucking G and starting it off like all casual and shit with like the bottle of wine, like, clutch move, like, just great
well,
way to
what,
start
was,
the scene, and like way to just like also just show the initiative and like be like, yeah, no, look, we can do this, like, it's
watch.
Easy.
Yeah, well, I can't remember who I was talking to the other day about role playing and kind of explaining this, and you know, they were kind of like saying, oh, I always imagined that role playing like started in bed, like that was something you did in bed. And I was like, oh, no. The whole thing for me is like starting, you know, when maybe you're out on a date or something, or you're at home, whatever. And you just go into those characters early, because that's the foreplay. Like that's what I want, to get into that non-self-conscious headspace of like, yeah, I want to have sex with my, you know, instead of like, I want to have sex with my girlfriend. How do you start the move? And we're kind of in cuddly time, whatever. You get into like, oh, let's create a situation that has all these thrills or whatever. Even if we are just having a night home, it doesn't have to be like we're just sitting home, you know. Or yeah, if you're out, then it presents all the fun things of like, let's like pick each other up or whatever. And that's all foreplay. It's all this like mm-hmm. super hot foreplay instead of people. Yeah, it never occurred to me before like that people thought of role play as something that was like in bed. Like,
yeah. No, like, there's a whole beginning and after of it.
I've done role plays before that, like, we're like a day and a half. You know?
And see, that's the thing, like, back when I was dating Adrian and Jess, like, that I liked about our kind of, like, three-person dynamic is that, like, mm-hmm. Adrian was more of, like, a daddy type to, like, Jess and I, right? And, like,
yeah.
And just having that kind of dynamic all the time gave us the ability yeah. to, like, easily slip in and out of, like, little, like, role-play moments, right? It might not be a thing forever, but just, like, oh, we're out at this restaurant, and for five minutes, that dynamic is in, like, heavy play, and then all of a sudden it's gone, and we're all normal again. But, like, it just adds another chunk to this, like, continuing story of this, like, ongoing, yeah. you know, group relationship yeah, that cool. we had.
Kind of just kind of seamlessly going in and out of it.
Yeah, like, and it's just vignettes into that world, right? That always yeah. keeps that, like, tension and excitement there.
Yeah. You know, because whatever relationships people have, it's so much of what goes on in relationships as they go on is, you know, people's sex lives suffer, and you have to keep the romance alive, and you have to figure out how to seduce each other and fulfill all those, like, needs and everything. And so I just think of role playing as such a great way for you to kind of, because it's kind of making yourselves. Like, it's like having an open relationship, even with just the two of you, like, especially for people who are monogamous, you know, you can add so much fun into a two-person dynamic if you get to be other people
yeah.
or different kinds of people or whatever, different times.
All
and
right.
It's not that hard. Like, improv is not that hard. It's what life is. Life is just a big game of improv. We just have these rules and ideas about it. And then, you know, we can all just kind of be method actors of ourselves in slightly different situations. You know, it's, you know, once you, cause like I said, the girl was so nervous about it, and it just all came naturally. I could just see it all because it just takes someone to start the scene, and then you can just react to that. You know, you just have a tiny little bio in your head of, like, these are the key points, and you choose those because it's the dynamics that you're interested in.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, oh yeah, that would be hot to be the nanny. And so it's kind of forbidden. And also, like, now she gets to kind of seduce me as this, like, you know, older woman who's not, has never done this before. Like, that's just super hot. And she doesn't have to, like, stretch that far to be that character. So we were like, this is an easy one to start with. And for me, I'm just like, I don't mind stretching a little because I'm, you know, I have a wild imagination. So
damn.
Anyway, customer service.
Yeah. It's
but
a long way around.
You know, put that on the list of, like, a dynamic of
What if somebody was into just literally physically abusing customer service representatives? That they, like, just they just wanted to see them, like, strapped up and, like, whipped, you know? Or they
yeah.
just want to, like, all right, I'm going to pay. Look, kid, you make no money. Can I pay you $300 for me to just, like, lightly beat the shit out of you for 15 minutes? It's like, I just kind of want to slap you around a little bit. Like, that's it. That's all. I need you to keep the name tag on. That's a big part of it for me.
I do need you to talk about Verizon while
I'm beating the shit out of you.
And you're trying to sell me a car warranty while I.
Or just, like, you know, you just want to bend somebody over and strap them to, like, a spanking bench and just, like, fuck the shit out of them. It's like they try yeah. and so they try
yeah, okay.
and tell you why your, like, fender bender isn't covered.
But now I'm thinking, like, I mean, maybe it's not step B, but, like, that while the girl and I are at it, like, that might not be that hard of a thing. No, but if she pretended to be, like, customer service at, you know, like, yeah, at Verizon or something, whatever, and I was upset about something, like, and I could, like, let myself get into, you know, that upset
yeah.
headspace, and if she were, can just be like, I'm sorry, I really can't, you know, help with that, and then, like, and I could let myself get into an angry place, and then try to, like, jump from that into a sexually dominant place.
Or even just,
yeah,
like,
I mean,
if you can't help with that, you're about to help me with something else. And just, like, I don't know. Actually, I can only write porno. I know I write dumb porno lines. It's don't. You would come up with something much better, I'm sure.
It's more like, oh yeah, oh yeah. You can't help me, like while you're pulling your hair back. That sort of thing.
Well, if I ever hear a lot of talk of Verizon coming from your room one day, you're like, oh, that's what's going on.
Something about a rewards program. Yeah. Freaking out of good times. I'm pretty sure my future second ex-wife is adding her girlfriend to our Verizon plan. So, it's like... Whoever that is who has that joke about polyamory. Angelina Martin, she has a joke about, wow, I'm in a polyamorous relationship and that my boyfriend's, or that I have a shared Netflix account with my boyfriend and his girlfriend or whatever. You
know? It's true.
It's true. We're all doing it. Man, my future second ex mother-in-law uses my library card to fucking download audiobooks. Mysteries and shit. So, you know.
All right, I guess we'll leave it there.
Okay. This has been another NPR production out of Safe Space Studios.
We're broadcasting on 66.6 FM. That's KFUX. Peace.
Ciao.
I'm Janish Meeting, a native writer and comedian, and I'm thrilled to announce that my podcast, Woman of Size, has found a permanent home on the Hoo Ha Ha Network. On Woman of Size, I talk to artists, writers, activists, and thinkers about their big-ass lives, their big-ass experiences, and their big... asses. Woman of Size is
plus size,
Latina,
flawed,
curvy,
baby, thick, queen,
queer,
fat, black,
disabled.
So come take up space and subscribe to Woman of Size on Apple Podcasts or wherever you like to listen. Be big, baby.
This has been a Hoo Ha Ha podcast.